Double Bubble Toil and Trouble. There's two football games on today at 4 and at 7. Monday afternoon football.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
As far as I know, it's brand new. That's a new thing, isn't it? Yes. Thursday night football. Everything's changed. Hi, you're Bill Benica. This is Talking Chief Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYMS. This is my news and commentary for today. It's the 10th. And, of course, 11 years ago, we're funk. Anyway. We'll talk well, tomorrow. I might open the phones tomorrow and just open the phones and just do it. Here's what's going on. There was a promo, which I think it's already over, but, Treasure Ivan, who does stuff back in the old historical type records and stuff. And so he had this promo on the thing that he did. I think he's already done it on the Red Scare and the music that came out at that time. And he said, tune in, comrades, or something like that. He used the term comrades. One time when I was in Washington State doing radio there, I pull into a gas station, and the guy, I don't know how we got into any kind of conversation. All right, so I said, thanks a lot, comrade. And the guy gave me the dirtiest look I've ever seen and said, do you know that I'm a member of the John Birch Society? So I know it now.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Wow. Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3-Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open, ultra-high-field scanner in the world, and its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center. All major insurances accepted.
Hello, more barbecue, please.
More ribs, more chicken, more pork, more beef, more burgers, more onion rings, more potato chips, more beans, more fried green tomatoes.
More barbecue, please.
More slaw, more tater salad, more house salad, more Cobb salad, more Caesar salad, and more Calypso salad. More sodas, more brewskis, more lemonade, more iced tea.
More barbecue, please.
At Osus and Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue dinners.
More barbecue, please.
Oh, barbecue, please. I had those last night. It was yesterday afternoon. Went to Imo Nari was a swell, and then I went and had some Moe's, and that was swell, and they give you 10 times more. If you're not a big eater, then you split something. So split something. That's what I mean. All right, let's get to our Who's What's This Day in History, a flashback according to the Tribune, our highlight on September 10th of 1912. The jungle character Tarzan made his debut as Tarzan the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs. It was first published in the All-Story magazine, the novel was published in book form in 1914. On this date, in 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ordered the University of Mississippi to admit James Meredith, a black student. 5 years ago, actress Jane Wyman died in Palm Springs. 1 year ago, on the eye of the 10th anniversary of 9/11, former Presidents George W. Bush and Bill Clinton paid tribute to the 40 passengers and crew who fought back against their hijackers aboard Flight 93 during a ceremony dedicated in the first phase of memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which is still a long way financially from where it needs to be doing more. This is our thought for today. Stendhal, French author, said the more one pleases everybody, the less one pleases profoundly. That ain't the truth. All right, our birthday is the actor Philip Baker Hall is 81. I don't know who Philip Baker Hall is, but he's 81. Singer Danny Hutton, Free Dog Night is 70. Singer Jose Feliciano from Jose Feliciano is 67. Local commentator Bill O'Reilly, 63. Rock musician Joe Perry from Aerosmith is 62. Actor Colin Firth is 52. Movie director Guy Ritchie is 44. Actor Ryan Philippe is 38. Rock musician Matthew Folwell from Kings of Leon is 28. And actress Hannah Hudson, whoever she is 21. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
News.
Here's the news, according to CalCoastNews.com. Today, the body of a Cal Poly student deceased on September 2nd following a Sacramento River float was discovered Sunday during a widespread search. Brett Olson, who was 20, was part of an alcoholic-fueled all-day event that attracted, or an alcohol field that attracted thousands of Labor Day celebrants, largely college-age young adults. Olson went missing after mingling with friends on Beer Can Beach about 4 p.m. Since his disappearance, hundreds of searchers have scoured the area and around the river. Fishermen spotted the body and flagged down rescue officials. Olson's parents were part of the search operation from the beginning and huddled together crying after his son's body was brought to shore. Officials said Olson's death was the first that they know of connected to the holiday event, although numerous rescues were being recorded during the day-long happening. We had an airplane went down. And if it had a little power, it would have been okay because it was a seaplane. But it didn't have any power apparently, so that's what happened. So I'm going to get to the story right here in a second. And it's right here. Two men on a plane that crashed into the Pacific Ocean north of Little Bay were pulled from the wreckage by a Coast Guard team. That's why we have the Guardies. A 7-year-old father and his 30-year-old son were on their way to Canada when they began to encounter trouble. At 3:06 p.m., they sent out a distress call. The GPS alerted rescuers that the single-engine Cessna 185 was a mile offshore northwest of Morro Bay. Coast Guard helicopters and boats from numerous locations, including San Francisco and Morro Bay, responded after the men were hoisted from the overturned plane and sunk into a bed of kelp. The men were taken to Paso Robles, where they declined any medical help. Apparently, they didn't need any. Two men were seriously injured by assailants who beat them with weapons early Sunday morning in the Grover Beach and unrelated assaults. In one of the incidents, a Grover Beach man allegedly held another man against his will and beat him over the head with a golf club. The unnamed victim escaped from a home on the 200 block of 6th Street and began yelling for help and knocking on doors in the area. Grover Beach police arrived to find the victim suffering from a serious head injury and bleeding profusely. Police arrested Craig Burrington for assault with a deadly weapon and booked him into San Luis Obispo County Jail. Shortly before that, about 3 a.m., a transient man seriously injured a man he beat with a blunt object at a home on the 700 block of 5th Street. You sort of get the idea of the neighborhood. Grove Beach police arrested Michael Wayne Nanella for attempted murder and booked him into the San Luis Obispo County Jail. There's two opinion pieces today. One's an uncovered and one's an opinion. But anyway, Karen Binney discovered this. Congressional candidate Maldonado's biggest obstacle may not be his Democratic challenger, but instead members of the GOP who have dubbed him Able. They have been at least 10 occasions when Maldonado has backed out of his promises to appear at a debate and speaking engagements. So the attitude is, heck with him, by the Tea Party, which he didn't show up for either. And that's it. I'm going to just summarize with that, okay? And there was one other thing I was going to mention here, right here. In this opinion piece, I'll just kind of briefly summarize what was said so that you can look it up yourself. CalCoastNews.com is again. Let me look this up. I'm going to have to the way this is going. Oh, here it is right here. Dr. Jason Pambrin, I hope I'm saying that right, Pambrin, said he read and felt compelled to comment directly the CalCoast News. He said CalCoast News didn't do their job. They didn't find time to interview some of us who work every day in the Sun Gardens area. Anyway, so there was, remember we had the story about they were asking people for IDs and whatnot, and it seemed kind of weird. Anyway, he says, the Sun Gardens are rife with alcohol and drugs for some time. Rarely a day goes by when I don't witness around my office public drunkenness, drug use, public sex, and or public urination in the Sunken Gardens. Wow. The area around my office is frequently littered with empty liquor bottles, beer cans, drug paraphernalia, and used condoms. You know what's interesting about that is that, you know, the police department used to be housed in, you know, the city hall thing. Now it's not. Down the street. I guess it makes a difference. An office catered almost exclusively to middle school through high school age kids who often walk over from the junior high or high school. Again, as a doctor, Harry, this is bad for business. Needless to say, I've had numerous parents complain about open drug use around my office or fear for my other child's safety while walking to their appointments. Just recently, a parent in my practice had to run out and break up a brutal fight right in front of the office. Another issue is that these kids who loiter in the park are often joined by much older men and on occasion women. Now, on one occasion, a parent in my office identified one of these adults as a known sex offender. Bottom line is Sunken Gardens needs to be cleaned up. The current situation in Gardens is not only bad for my business, but also for families and kids who just want to enjoy or simply traverse the Sunken Gardens without having to put up with the ridiculous behavior of this group of loitering kids, not to mention my employees, who often feel threatened just walking their cars to and from the office. But what I say in the Sunken Gardens, and contrary to the assertion of your article, I say the police have plenty of probable cause to conduct the searches that you reported on. And still, that's still debatable because it depends on, you know, what how they're conducting such a search, you know, unreasonable search and seizure. Okay, well, that's an interesting thing, though. And so, remind you of calcosnews.com. Read this and other things that appear all day long, 24/7. And I'm Bill Benick reporting. I never say that, but I thought I'd say it today.
calcosnews.com on KYNS, your news station.
It's about 18 after the hour of 12, and this is weird, the double football game thing. And I suppose, you know, I'm just supposing they do it for, is for people back east who normally have to start watching the football game on Monday night at 10 o'clock, which a lot of people, you know, they've complained about for years. And so what they've done is they've went ahead and shoved another game in, and so that's going to be at 4 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock their time, and we have the 7 o'clock normal game. And anyway, that's what's going on with that. I hadn't heard of it before, so I thought I'd mention it. So otherwise, it doesn't matter. Now, the 49ers did win. Can we just say this for the San Francisco 49ers? They did win. And then I think today it's Oakland and San Diego, I believe. That's one of the games, so that's going to be an interesting game. All right. Let me do this with you, if I may, right off the top. Please remember our guests on Patriot Day, but here's the deal. Patriot Day occurs on September 11th of each year, designated in memory of the 2,993 people killed in the September 11th, 2001 attacks. On this day, the President directs that the American flag be flown at half-staff at individual American homes, at the White House, and all U.S. government buildings and establishments, home and abroad. The President also asks Americans to observe a moment of silence beginning at 8:46 a.m., so that's 11:46 our time, just before I go in here. Our time is 11:46, the time of the first plane crash on September 11th. In observance of Patriot Day, please also remember vets who have put their lives in the line for freedom and security. This is the whole thing I got from Disabled American Veterans, the little stickers. That puts on all the world like the gazebo down there in Pismo. So, you know, what's the name of the place now? These things change names so often, you can't keep track of it. It's whatever it is. So there, tomorrow, fly your flag. So tomorrow, we'll do tomorrow stuff tomorrow, of course. And maybe we can talk on the phone about what's going on. All right, what else? Imo Nari. Great festival again this year. And I felt really bad, though, for these two people. Somehow a sprinkler went haywire, apparently, over the course of the night. And it's sprayed on their chalk drawings, which, of course, doesn't work at all when you have chalk drawings. And so she put an apology. She chalked an apology on there and said, "I'm sorry this happened to us. I'm sorry, got into it too." And one of them was sponsoring me. And who sponsored it was in Don Ann. I'm trying to think who the other one was. Can't remember. So it was interesting, I think, besides looking at the different paintings, the different chalk drawings, was to see the, who sponsored them, who did them. And then there was one young lady that was still working on hers. This was late in the afternoon, yesterday. And she was still working on hers. It was beautiful. It was on the Broad Street. It was very, very nice. Anyway, so it was just it's amazing. But again, amazing what they do. Now, if you want to see some amazing, amazing, beyond amazing chalk drawings, there's a guy named Julian Beaver. B-E-E-V-E-R, Beaver, Julian Beaver. Google Julian Beaver and look at his sidewalk paintings. And it'll be like nothing you've ever seen in your entire life. There's no way to understand how it can possibly be done. Now, here's what's coming up this weekend. We're going to have our County Creek cleanup day. And so this is to get in there and get all the glue out of the creeks. And so this is interesting how this is kind of cute in its own way. Organizers are touting the cleanup as a family affair as well as a celebration of community pride. Okay. Call it whatever you want. We call it cleaning up the creeks. So anyway, but you can. There's all kinds of places you can do this. If you don't subscribe to this thing, you're not going to know where to go. This is too many. Nobody's going to remember this. Well, listen for the name of your town, and I'll tell you where it is. Paso Robles, meeting location, Larry Moore Park. I'm not worried about. Oh, I'm not going to. Well, they have free lunch provided for volunteers. Wear work clothes, bring gloves. Templeton Community Service District, and that's their Atascadero, Atascadero Mutual Water Company, the city of Atascadero, in the City Hall parking lot. Light snacks provided for volunteers. Santa Margarita, citizens of Santa Margarita, meeting location, Santa Margarita Community Park. Special notes arrival at 8 a.m. for orientation, wear work clothes and bring gloves. Cal Poly Environmental Health and Safety Department and the Dexter meet on the Dexter Lawn, which is easy. And then a great opportunity for new students and campaign clubs to meet each other and beautify the campus site, Captain's Needed. San Luis Obispo meeting location, Santa Rosa Park, corner of Santa Rosa and Oak Streets. Says special notes, ample parking of the volunteers will be sent to more than 20 other sites throughout the county, throughout the city. One or two volunteers with pickups needed, free breakfast rolls and coffee. Five cities, the Central Coast Salmon Enhancement, Nelson, meeting with Nelson is the Nelson Green Rotary Bandstand, and this is the Pomo. Meeting place is corner of West Teft and Carrillo Streets, east of Highway 101. Morning snacks and lunch will be provided. So you might go with, might be inclined to go where the best food is. Anyway, so it's an important day. Because people throw stuff on the creeks and they're just animals. Yeah, I don't know what's with them. Anyway, I was kind of noticing, too, it's interesting when you have kind of wide open spaces. For whatever reason, the wide open spaces invite more litter, it seems to me. And when I say wide open spaces, I don't mean real wide or real open, but there's always a preponderance of litter on Tank Farm Road. Ever notice that? Like, for some reason, Tank Farm Road is where you throw stuff out of your window. I don't, but I mean, people do. So I don't know if I understand what I'm thinking, but there it is. I just thought I'd tell you that. What else? You know, because we had this really nice conversation with Deborah Cash last week, part of what I was enjoying when I was doing the Modern Art Festival was the plaza. You know, just how nice it is. And here's a picture for the creek day of the kids. There's a bazillion kids down the course of the creek. It's fun to play in the creek when you're a kid. And I suppose if we asked ourselves as adults, we'd probably have fun, too. Here's the article. It's way too long to do the whole thing, but they were hostile work culture in the state's parks review of surpluses. This was like a crazy outfit, this whole state parks thing. You know, people were intimidated and browbeaten and all kinds of stuff. And people that suspected there was something wrong and there was money and funds, were dissuaded from saying anything for fear of their jobs. So it's kind of like, holy cow. Kind of like a rogue department. Mm-hmm. You don't have those, I guess. You don't have those. That's the thing right there. So it's like the lady that was from the Tea Party in North County talking about Evil Maldonado. She said, well, maybe you just shouldn't vote for evil person. That would be the best statement of all. You know, with the approach of 9/11 tomorrow, you know, I think of all the conspiracy things I've ever heard of, and I was thinking about that driving in today. I've never bought into any of them, quite frankly. But the fact of the matter is that I really don't think our government is evil. When I say government, I mean collectively the people in Washington. I don't think they're evil. I think they're incompetent. There's a huge difference between the two. That's just my opinion. Romney says in the key parts of Obama's landmark health law. So he said he, because remember he did this thing in Massachusetts. So anyway, he would say, he said, The mistake of agreeing to automatic cuts in military spending to avoid financial crisis acknowledged that Obama's national security strategy has made America in some ways safer. So he's trying to say, you know, okay, well, yeah, everything's not as bad as I said it was in the convention, but that's as much as I want to do on that. Okay, here's, I don't even know what this movie is. Possession holds the number one spot at the box office. It occupied the top place of Frank Flick with Kira Sedgwick and Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing the parents of a girl possessed by a demon. Have we heard this before? Have we seen movies about the girl possessed by the demon? I think we have. Anyway, it earned $9.5 million in its second outing, which is really the lowest grossing weekend for a box office this year and one of the worst weekends of the box office in a decade. See, everybody's eating Lunari festivals all over the economy and the country and everywhere. So that's what happened. Bad. Let me see how some other people did. Because of that $9.5 million was bad. Lawless did $6 million. The Words did $5 million. The Expendables 2 did $4.7 million. Born Legacy did $4 million. Paranorman did $3.8 million. The Odd Life of Timothy Green $3.6 million. The Campaign $3.5 million. The Dark Knight Rises $3.3 million. And 2016 Obama's America $3.3 million. Which people have, there's all kinds of letters that people have about the whole thing with Obama, you know, 2016 and what. And, you know, it's all political, whatever. Yeah, I get with that. Here's important gossip. This isn't gossip. Author Richard Bach, who inspired the best-selling Jonathan Siegel, apparently didn't inspire him that well because he had a plane crash, but he's okay. He's doing better. He's got a head and shoulder injuries. But he's in sort of a daze from August 31st, as his dad says, after hitting power lines on Sandman Island when the plane flipped over. Anyway, the guy with Jonathan Lewis and Siegel, which makes the whole thing just kind of bizarre. And the man Johnny Depp helped release from Arkansas's death row has become like a brother to him, right down to getting matching tattoos. How sweet is that? We have some, Depp said, as he touched a tattoo on the right side of his chest. This one, Damien Design, is one of my all-time favorites. Anyway, so this had to do in the documentary West of Memphis about Damien Echols and his two co-defendants who were sent to prison for 18 years for the 1993 murders of 3 8-year-old boys in West Memphis. All three were released after agreeing to an Alford plea, which allowed them to maintain their innocence while pleading guilty. The three were the subjects of the Paradise Lost documentaries, which captured Depp's interest in the case. So it's nice to know. That's not that nice to know. It's tattoos. I don't care.
Hello, Bill Simmons Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Simmons Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Simmons Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Simmons Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy. For you.
Good, because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Simmons Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande, or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
All right, listen up, maggots, because I have something to say that you might want to hear. It's for every man 18 through 25 years old. Now, you want to live in my United States of America? Then you have got to register with Selective Service. It's a privilege, and it's the law. The fact is, you must register before you can qualify for student loans, most federal jobs, or job training. Now, you say you want to be a U.S. citizen? Well, get with the program. You've got to be registered to qualify. Now, Charlie tells me that we need to go online at sss.gov or fill out a Selective Service registration form at any post office. You did that already? Outstanding! You earned my respect. Hoorah!
Register with Selective Service online at sss.gov or at the post office.
It's the law.
this stuff. It reminds me very much of Moby. And I don't know. I tried to find other Moby. It was totally unsuccessful with that. But you go, you know, that's what you can do. You're Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap. And I thank you for joining me on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Let me tell you about Silly Posturpedic and Ivers, because I'll tell you what, they got the whole shebang right here. And here's what I told you. Like, here's a model, and I know they have all three of these. Tempur Simplicity Soft, Tempur Simplicity Medium, and Tempur Simplicity Firm. So, if you were thinking to yourself, well, there's only one kind of bed, you know, it's a foamy thing. It's not. They have different kinds. They have Contour Selects. They have Tempur they have all kinds of things. Then they have the Grand Bed by Tempur-Pedic. And is it grand or what? You should see that thing. Anyway, but there's just a lot of great beds they have. There's Cloud Supremes, Cloud Tempur, Tempur Cloud Lux. They have all these different feelings to how it feels when you lay on. And you're going to know as soon as you lay on the one that you would like, you're going to know it. It's just automatically says, here I am, and here you are, and I'm glad we got together. So that's how it is. And then don't forget they have the ergo thing where you can adjust your feet and your head and the whole thing. And that's really comfortable, too. As a matter of fact, that's so luxurious that I don't know if you should do it, because I don't know if you can build me a bed ever. I had a hard time getting it myself. And it wasn't in my bedroom. It was in the showroom. Anyway, so they have great prices. They have some closeout stuff going on now and some styles that are being discontinued. And so I would get into Ivers and see what's going on. Because really, this is the most recommended bed in the whole world, is what they tell you. And it's approved by all kinds of people that are important, even NASA. And so I would go to Ivers, and they have just great people to deal with and talk to, and no pressures, no anything. And it's just a very pleasant experience. And then you have a great bed when you're done. So I'm crossing Short Streets right there in the back corner, right at the dead end there, just about 100 yards from, not even that far, 100 yards from the appliance store, but in a whole other building. Go to Ivers, it's smart, and you'll like it. All right, I like it, I'll tell you that.
I'm up for one of those.
No question about it. Okay. Debt crisis leads to white widows. So here's an article about the financial woes in Europe, and there's how many people are committing suicide. How many men are saying, okay, we're having a terrible time, so I'm saying that. So that's like kind of really weird. Chicago teachers and administrators are talking again hours after teachers' stage their first strike in 25 years. Strike left about 350,000 students with an extra day off. Now, here's the interesting thing. The umpire strike. So they're not doing bad. And I mean, if you watch football yesterday, they're doing okay, but a lot of the decisions they have to make by committee. You know how normally sometimes review things together, but almost everything they have to kind of talk about. So that, which is good, though, because that way you come up with an answer to say, you know, worthwhile when you have three guys and all say, okay, here's what it is. But, I find it cute, to tell you the truth. But I think they're doing okay. I think they're doing okay. And now the new thing where they have to review every touchdown, open a booth, that kind of takes care of that. Plus they had me yesterday when the plays were the touchdowns. It wasn't a touchdown at all. They discovered that. So, yeah. The knee was down. All right. Now, here you go. Trenton, New Jersey is the capital of New Jersey, by the way. You say, well, Bill, yes, so? Well, New Jersey's mayor was arrested on corruption charges. Oh, I can't imagine. Really? Really? Mayor of New Jersey's capital city was arrested on Monday on corruption charges for allegedly accepting bribes during an undercover sting operation, FBI and records revealed. Tony Mack, his brother Raphael Mack, and business associate Joseph A. Jojo Giargiani, 63, faced charges in connection with an alleged kickback scheme to sell city-owned land to investors for well under the assessed value. The three were due in court later in the day, as Attorney Paul Fishman said in a news conference. Anyway, so this is going to be some big trouble. Trenton Journal. You know what's interesting? Can I tell you this? I've never watched Snooki and the Gang. Was it called Jersey Shore? I've seen them appear on other things, but I've never been compelled to watch the thing Jersey Shore. And then there's other people.
from Jersey, the House Jersey Housewives or something. I've never watched that, but I've seen them appear on the people's programs. And then they had, I was watching the Food Truck Race last night. Remember I told you I watched the Food Network? I was watching, and they had three girls from New Jersey. Let me tell you something that's very interesting about this. I don't know where from New Jersey they are from, but none of them have what I would consider much of a Jersey accent, you know what I mean? Which is fine. I mean, that's good. That's a good thing. Because, I mean, we had a girl, I think she was in South Jersey, and I remember one class, you couldn't understand a word she said. Her accent was so amazingly bad. I mean, it was just so severe. You couldn't understand the things she was saying. And my brother's late wife, who was from South Philly, when you're in the South, it just makes a difference. And I couldn't understand what she was saying either. She had a Philadelphia accent. That's amazing, but it's interesting that the people that are, quote, New Jerseyites, that are on TV these days, they don't sound like it. Just make it. So I shared that. Kind of an observation I had. You know, you gotta have some non in. There's observation. Other people in the news. We had the slow event to commemorate. Let me explain something, if I may. Here's a picture of retired U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant Norm Morris, speaks at the 11th Annual American Thunder Barbecue and Rally. So they had the American Thunder Barbecue and Rally that took place yesterday in Mitchell Park. And so you might say to yourself, Bill, I don't remember you mentioning that last week, and it's because I didn't, know about it. I'm here. You can easily get hold of me. Yeah, never heard about it. So, hope it turned out okay. I didn't know about it on the weekend. I think on Saturday they had in the paper Sunday. So, guess what? It's today. I guess tomorrow, whatever it was. So it's not like I didn't know at all, but I didn't know in time to really matter. That's how it works out. I didn't know in time to really matter, is what it comes down to. All right, you say how things go in Iraq really badly, quite frankly, and, they have a lot of sectarian unrest and violence in Iraq, which was the whole situation was built for it. I mean, it was just, you know, it couldn't be worse. So you got the Sunnis and the Shia, and they're just going crazy after each other. And then the vice president, Tariq al-Hashemi, and his son-in-law were found guilty of murdering a lawyer and a security official, and so they fled to Turkey, and they're hanging out in Turkey, and saying, well, so then they had all kinds of bloodshed in the capital and everything, and all kinds of people killed, and they got bombs all over the place, and it's just really bad. There's a February panel of judges accused him of overseeing paramilitary death squads responsible for carrying out more than 150 attacks over 6 years against political opponents. This is the vice president. And all this other stuff has been going on. It's really bad. Okay, how things are going in Afghanistan? Not good. And then there's an article in here, which I'll find here over the weekend, they had about how, you know, Americans. Now, luckily, it's not all Americans. I can say this, but I understand. Please understand. When you've been at war 11 years, it's nothing like the Vietnam War was, which was long, but it was, you know, there was a draft. It was in the news all the time because there was a draft and because people kept in the news. But Afghanistan is just people all of a sudden go off and some come home and some don't. And, you know, you have to nudge yourself sometimes, but luckily we have Welcome Home Heroes and other organizations, you know, concerned with parents and all this sort of stuff. On the Central Coast, we have organizations that say, here, we're not going to let you forget what's going on. We're trying not to let you forget what's going on, and I appreciate the fact that I'm part of that network, and I can share with you. We're going to have, I think next week is when we're going to do it. I think next week, Greg Scheer is going to come in. He's going to have lunch with Lenny Ortega tomorrow. So here's what we're, a lot of weird stuff going on. So we're going to have a Vets Express concert with Lenny Ortega like we had last year. It's going to be out in Morbay, whatever. I'll have to find the name of that place. I forget, not the Grange Hall. Maybe it's the Grange Hall. Anyway, the place in Morbay. And it's just up Highway 41. And so we're going to be there. And it turned out to be really nice last year. We really had a nice time. And so then there's, they couldn't have it at the Vets Hall, it turns out, because they couldn't serve beer. Although, I've been to events where they serve beer at the Vets Hall, so I have no idea. I was trying to, Greg Scheer was trying to explain this to me as best he could. And then, I said, well, they got, why doesn't VFW open up their, you know, right behind the Vets Hall? Why don't they open up their bar to the public for one day, make some dough? And he said, because they're having a remodel. So, Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where it is. It's going to be a good time. It's worth driving all day for, I can tell you that. So that'll be the 30th, and I'll get the exact time on that. I want to make sure that they have the exact time. So that'll be the 30th of September in Morro Bay. That'll be Louis Ortega, his daughter, and the gang. And so then, what's the other thing I want to tell you about? Oh, my gosh. I don't know what's going on. And Craig barely knows what's going on, and there's everybody shrugging their shoulders, and they're going, what is this? What happened was, that I think it was a Disabled American Vets, I think it was a community, but don't hold me to that, somebody like that. Anyway, donated four vans for Vets Express purposes. But for some reason, instead of just saying to a ride-on, here's four vans, and then Greg had already lined up drivers and all kinds of other stuff, and it was going to be under their auspices. And for some reason, the vans went to the Employment Development Department. And so Milt Batson, who's is the VA guy over there, the veterans guy at the Mount Vernon, from what I can gather, now these buses have been in-house for 2 years and haven't operated yet. But from what I can gather, this is what Craig said, he's going to find out more if he can. There's going to be one in Lompoc, one in Santa Maria, one in San Luis Obispo, one in North County, which in its own way, you may think sort of makes sense, but it sort of doesn't at the same time. And so it's almost like there'll be two separate entities, which doesn't make any sense either. So anyway, Greg's going to come in next week and we're going to talk about it, see if we can figure out what's going on. It's really strange to me. The whole thing's just kind of weird. Anyway, it's not a surprise. Children in private schools in the state are more likely to forego vaccinations. Non-immunization is more than two times greater than public schools. Now, in public schools, this is what's interesting is, see, it's a school mandate that kids get vaccinated. You know, it's a board of a county, it's the state board of education says, okay, you have to be vaccinated. That's a mistake. So what it should be is it should be the state health person, whatever it would be, that would say you have to have these vaccinations by the time you're 5 years old. Just everybody. But we don't have that. We don't do that. We do it as a condition of going to school. So here are these kids that are homeschooled and in private schools, so they don't pay attention to it. About 15% of 1,650 private schools surveyed by the state failed to reach the threshold compared with 5% of public schools, and that's to have 90% of people immunized in all communities. So they say a professor of global health at Emory University in Atlanta who had studied vaccine refusal in private schools surmised more private school parents are wealthy and have the time to spend five shots over a series of years and stay home should their child get a nose like chicken pox. So it's like if you have more money, of course if you have more money you can go to private school. If you have more money you're not going to private school anyway. That stands to reason there. Okay, there was a dearth of things not involving politics in our letters today. So there was only one that I thought, okay, that was Patty, who's, how old is Patty? 80. She's 80 years old. Patty, I gotta tell you, I don't know Patty at all, but I think this letter was kind of everywhere. David Middlekamp wrote about, and I told you about, this story about this whale hunt that happened in the late 1800s here on the Central Coast, and they used special torpedo things and funny stuff. And so he was passing on how it was described in a journal. You know, this was somebody else's writing. And he said, it's not like, you know, we haven't been involved in whales before here on the Central Coast because of all the whales and the things that showed up in Avila and Port St. Louis. So he was sharing this tale. And she took it as I quit reading after I read some of the stuff, and Middlekamp thinks this graphic stuff makes for light reading. I'd hate to see his bookshelves. I'll stick with Bill Moore, and he likes animals. So it wasn't a matter of not liking animals, Patty. It was a matter of he was just sharing his story. And can I say something else? I don't think the newspaper thinks of itself as light reading. It may come off that way, you know, sometimes. Often. It may come off that way, but I don't think that that's really, I don't really think that's what it's about. And that's just my opinion of that. I don't think it's supposed to be light reading at all. let me tell you about something else that's going on. Let me tell you about Shada, because this is the last day. This is the last day to do this thing. All right, today's the 10th. It's the last day. Bands and fans, the top 11 finalists of this year's Charter Center stage to battle the bands contest have been announced. Only one of the 11 will win and open for the All-American Rejects playing for thousands of fans. Now, are you familiar with the All-American Rejects? Okay, I guess somebody is. So check out all 11 finals at charter.com/centerstage and vote for your favorite once every day until September 10th. So today's your last day to vote. The epic concert with the All-American Rejects will also be streamed live on Facebook on September 29th. For an uninterrupted streaming experience, you'll want to have super fast Charter internet, of course, with speeds up to 30 Mbps, and get Charter internet for only $2.99 per month for 12 months when bundled. Plus, you can still enter for a chance to win awesome prizes. So check out charter.com/centerstage to learn more and vote now. Restrictions apply. FC's charter.com/centerstage for details. Anyway, that's that center stage thing. They got the bands, and you can vote on it for a band. You know, it's kind of like American Idol. You get to vote. People off the island. I got too many confused there. I got mixed up. It's so hard. Serena Williams, man, she's something. She collected her fourth U.S. Open title, and she was on Kelly and Michael today. Anyways, what an athlete she is. Holy cow. The Giants shoved the Dodgers 4-0 yesterday, so they went 2 out of 3. So they are now 5.5 games in the lead in the National League West. 5.5 games. Dodgers, please. Please, Dodgers, for God's sake. And then Peyton Manning. The important thing about Peyton Manning was, well, there's two things important about Peyton Manning coming back, I think. And that is the fact, of course, that he had neck surgery and all kinds of weird things happened to him for a whole year. He wasn't in football. And the Colts said goodbye. And so then he was out there. And so he played a great game and didn't show any problems at all, which is really good news. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting, is, and that's that, and as he's playing for Denver now, that he had his 400th touchdown pass. And that's there's only two other people that have done it. Come on, Bill Charlie, who they are. Brett Favre, I think Dan Marino was the other one. I'm pretty sure it's Dan Marino. Brett Favre, Dan Marino. The only people who've ever done that. So that's a pretty special club. He was so gracious about it, too, when he was interviewed on right after the game and everything. And he just was like, you know, those 400 people had to catch the ball, you know. So I'm not here on my own, which I thought was very nice to say. And then Washington Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III made his debut, and boy, was in a doozy, too. Holy cow, that guy's going to be. The Washington Redskins, that's so amazing to me sometimes, but it's not amazing. I should get used to it now. It's interesting how teams can sometimes, it's so important to have the right person in the right position at the right time and in the right place and all that. And Robert Griffin III, I think, for the Redskins, is certainly going to be that, has been coming from there. And he's absolutely a talented man. So it's going to be interesting to see what Washington does this year, because they also have some great receivers, they've got some good running backs. I'm talking sports like him, I'm not a sports guy, I'm not really, but this is the stuff I just kind of noticed. And then Rory McIlroy won a straight tournament victory in the BMW Championship. He closed with 567, making his only bogey in the final. Anyway, he became the first player since Tiger Woods in 2009 to win the consecutive weeks on the PGA Tour, and with a sixth career win, he joined Woods and Jack Nicklaus as the only players to win at least six times at age 23. So, He's the top dog. He's the top dog on the whole thing right now on the board. All right. Anything else with sporting I was supposed to tell you about? Yeah. Nothing else there. Let me go backwards here and see. We got the New Jersey mayor arrested, which is doesn't come kind of surprise to me at all. And yeah, the governor, Chris Christie, you know, just seems like a straight arrow guy, and people seem to really like the guy. Well, Chris Christie, well, Republicans certainly like him. Anyway, but he's just a straight arrow kind of guy. Seems like him. I hope. Okay. And then in Yemen, Al Qaeda's number two leader was killed. And I'm going to say, which is really, I mean, you figure we've been at this for 11 years now. So something has to be good news. Yemeni forces have killed Saad al Shariri, second in command of Al Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Yemeni government officials speaking on a condition of anonymity said officials are waiting for DNA confirmation. It's just nice to do that. Now, the, when there was drone strikes and stuff, the United States, the Yemeni said Al-Shir was killed in an operation by the armed forces. Three local security officials told CNN that a U.S. drone conducted a strike. The United States generally does not comment on reported drone strikes. I don't know why. It's like, you know, it's, I don't know. It's, you know, I don't get it. It's the game you play. What drone strikes? What drone? Are you kidding? You're a drone. No, it's not just really weird. All right, anyway, this guy was bumped off. So, an official say five suspected Al-Qaeda members were killed in that strike. And so, I forget where they sit. Where did they sit? You know, someplace in Springfield, Illinois, or someplace, and they bombed people. It was weird. Okay, so that's the best story.
This story I was going to tell you about.
Whatever I'm having in here, I'm going to have a lady come in, and she's going to come in on Thursday, and we're going to talk about the great Rotary Home Tour. I think it's so neat to skip your homes and everything. Once again, can I tell you something? This is going to be the longest 2 months of our lives. It really is. It really is. I'm telling you. And the presidential stuff hasn't really begun yet. But Lois Capps gave them all a motto. I mean, I know who they are now. They don't have to run me another ad. I know what they think and how they think it, I think. So, leave me alone. Live and Live Southern California now, hidden on bands. There's a cute article. It was fun. Just light reading, as a matter of fact, Patty. It had to do with the fact that, you know, California used to be so kind of like free, open-spirited, all that kind of thing, and now it's anything but. You know, there's all kinds of rules and regulations about everything. And so, obviously, lately it's gotten really kind of out of control. But that's, you know, that's how things are. When you get too many rats in the cage and people start stepping on each other, that's the way it works. Bonfires in the beach, sorry, Gidget, Newport Beach is waiting for permission from the California Coast Commission to get rid of those. Newport's fleet of diesel burning yachts are still okay, but napping the city's libraries, you can't do that. They banned plastic foam trays in cafeterias, the LA Unified School District. You know what's going to happen also? Can I say this? This is really good. This is going to happen. I promise you this will happen. And this will be a pain in the neck. And this is going to, at some point, annoy you more than you normally get annoyed waiting in line at the market. We got the thing where you're going to have to pay 10 cents for a bag. Now, I promise you that this is going to happen. You know what's going to happen. That people are going to start to argue with the bag people, the baggers, the boys and girls that do the bagging, about did they put enough in each bag? You know, well, you could add more to that. And then, the other thing is, if they have to add 10 cents, that means you have to wait till all the groceries are bagged, or close to it, to in order for the cashier to give you a total. Because they have to add 10, 20, 30, 40 cents, depending on how many bags you might buy for their paper. Everybody do each other a favor. Get a cloth bag, please, or a plastic bag. So you know, cloth so you can wash it, or a plastic bag so you can clean it out. Who cares? One of the two. Have one of each. Why not? And get some bags. I noticed people, there's all kinds of things where people, if you buy something, they give you a bag nowadays. A cloth bag or a plastic bag. So that's heavy. I don't even like the little thin plastic. I'm talking about heavy-duty plastic stuff. Anyway, but we'd all be doing ourselves a favor if we each went and said, okay, I'm going to make sure I have my bags because, you know, somebody's going to create havoc and heck when, you know, just trying to get through a line because we have to pay for the paper bags at 10 cents a piece and figure out how many we should use. Oh, I can just, I can't wait to see my first trip at that. I can't actually. Let's do CBS News.
sent me to raise my voice and say, may the lights in the land of plenty shine on the truth someday.
You're Bill Benka, talking sheep. Thanks for joining me today on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Let me remind you, if I may, reiterate this, and that is that Patriot Day occurs tomorrow and is designated in memory of the 2,993 killed in the September 11th attacks. On this day, the president directs that the American flag be flown at half-staff at individual American homes at the White House and on all U.S. government buildings and establishments home and abroad. The president also asks Americans to observe a moment of silence beginning at 11:46 our time tomorrow, the time of the first plane crash on September 2001. You got to go, where? Do you know where you were? Where were you? Yeah. I was home. And I forget what time I went on the air back then. But the secretary called and said, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. So I immediately turned on the news. And here's what a lot of reaction was at first, of course, was how could a plane not miss the World Trade Center? Is it? How could that possibly be? Especially a big plane. It's like, how could a big plane, you know, not miss the World Trade Center? And that was the beginning of a long and arduous time for everybody. Well, darkness over the land, as it were. They say the candidates are going to blitz. The candidate blitz gets started in 10 states. This is Barack and Mitt. You know, they're going to start inundating you with stuff here soon. So yeah, I already told you that. You know, that's too bad. That's too bad. Okay. The French of honor, Paul McCartney, by the way, who's 70 years old now, French President Francois Hollande at the Elysee Palais, with members of McCartney's family attending. He's often returned to a Sir Paul in his native Britain, also having received a knighthood from Queen Elizabeth. So he's out now. He's out there and about there. It doesn't say anything here about the about the Toronto Film Festival. We're going to learn more about that on Friday when Jim D comes back and tells us about it. But here's South Korean filmmaker Kim Ki-duk's intense mother-son relationship drama in Pieta was awarded the Venice Film Festival's highest honor, the Golden Lion Award. On Saturday, the Silver Lion Award, the prize for directing went to Austrian director Ulrich Seidi, I hope is how you say his name, for his controversial exploration of religion and oppression in Paradise Faith. Paul Thomas Anderson won a special jury prize for his directorial work on The Master, while the film stars Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman shared the best acting honors. They're in a movie together. It's called Movie Together. Here's this article in yesterday's paper about a constant drumbeat, and many Americans have grown numb to the stream of death notices from our nation's longest war, merely white noise in the background, which is really too bad. It's really unfortunate. And you sort of have to pinch yourself sometimes and kick yourself in the fanny and say, you know what? I can't ignore this. I can't ignore this. I mean, this is too important to ignore. I know it's been a long time, but it's still too important to ignore. Then if you don't have enough things to fight over in a place that you're already fighting over everything anyway, they say in Afghanistan one of the big problems now is there's factions that are fighting over who's going to have the mineral rights. Because apparently there's a lot of great stuff in Afghanistan. There's stuff that we need and people want, and oil, gold, iron ore, copper, lithium, I mean, you can't find that everywhere, and other materials and minerals that has brought hopes of more self-sufficient country if only the wealth can be wrested from the blood-soaked soil. Wrested from the blood-soaked soil. Who wrote this novel? Oh, Graham Boley for the New York Times. There you are. Okay. So Hamid Karzai is in the middle of that, by the way, of course, you know, the president and all that. Okay. Now, here's a sad tale. The official impasse delays the opening of the 9/11 Museum. City and state argue over who will cover oversight and operations of the $1 billion site. So it's dragged down for so long that the museum will not open in time for this September 11th, tomorrow, or even the next one. So it's just absurd, you know, the city and the state fighting over who's going to be what. You got Cuomo and Bloomberg. Help. And here I mentioned this earlier today. Flight 93 Memorial is still $5 million short of what they need in Shanksville to make that memorial work. They're still short. Okay. Oh, here was the thing I came across. And this is Piers Morgan was interviewing. I told you this. I watched this for the first time here about 2 weeks ago. And I don't know that I'll watch it all the time, but occasionally it's fascinating to me. I find it fascinating. I don't know why they call them pawn stars. They're just pawnbrokers. You know, it's kind of weird. But it's interesting to see how, because if you've never been involved with a pawn shop, which I haven't, that how it's done. And so Piers Morgan interviewed some of the guys on Pawn Stars, and this is what they had to say.
You bought some stuff here that you've had brought into you. This is actually the battle plan for Iwo Jima, is that right?
Yes.
Incredible. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Who brought this in?
It was a person, his father had been on Iwo Jima. He was one of the boats that brought the troops in. This was the battle plan he was given. And he thought it was really neat, but he had a daughter that was having a very expensive wedding, and he figured let Grandpa pay for it.
So what did you give him for that? How do you assess a value?
This was a few years ago. I don't remember the exact price, and that's the big problem with things like this. It's really hard to when you have one of a kind, there's nothing to compare it to. You know, if you have a coin, you can look up on the internet what this coin went for last time. But
do you remember even the ballpark?
I think it was right around $3,500, something like that.
And what is it worth? I mean, presumably whatever somebody wants to pay for it.
I'm assuming, you know, $10,000-$12,000.
These, for example, are Olympic medals. They were from Atlanta in 96 and Barcelona in 92. Joe Green, who won two bronze medals for the long jump, he brought them in himself. Presumably he'd hit hard times. I mean, nobody would give up bronze Olympic medals for nothing. So do you remember his story?
I think his story was basically that he got injured, wasn't able to compete in 2000, and was doing some other things. And the way I look at it is, thank God he had these to get him by the hard times. Mm. And because a lot of people don't have things to get him by the hard times. And in the end, I look at it, it's still just stuff.
Is there anything you would turn down?
Have you
ever turned anything down?
We won't take any German World War II items.
Really?
You know, I won't do it. It's just, you know, it's the creepy factor of it where, you know, people will come in the store and they're instantly offended by seeing it. Mm. And it's not really a moral thing. It's a money thing where if someone's mad a second they see something in the store, they're not going to spend any money.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think it's got bad mojo and things like that. I wouldn't take anything from Saddam Hussein or anything like that, you know. There are some really disturbed people who collect things like that, murderabilia, things like that. I just don't take it.
And there was a gas mask from World War I for a kid. We passed on that one. It was just way too creepy to have there.
Yeah.
How interesting. How interesting. That's amazing, really. All right. Now, here was another story I wanted to get to. I want to make sure I get to it because it had to do with this is a seal. This is the seal who shot bin Laden. Discusses why he wrote the book, and then he had something to say that was kind of curious about this whole thing. Let me get it queued up here for us. This is the No Easy Day thing that goes on sale tomorrow, I'm afraid. All right, let's see what I had to say.
Navy SEAL who wrote the best-selling book about the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. He says he's speaking out to set the record straight. Matt Bissonnette, who used the pen name Mark Owen to write No Easy Day, tells CBS's 60 Minutes there was nothing political about his book, and he insists the Pentagon is off base with accusations that he compromised national security by writing this account. Listen to Bissonnette describe the moment he and another SEAL encountered bin Laden and shot him.
Did you recognize him?
No. You know, everybody thinks it was like, you know it's him? No. To us at that time, it could have been anybody. Maybe this is another brother. Maybe this is a bodyguard. Maybe it doesn't matter. The point is to just continue clearing.
Wow. Bissonnette says he wrote No Easy Day to commemorate the 9/11 attacks and celebrate the hundreds of people who worked on the mission to take out the Al-Qaeda leader.
That was kind of chilling, I have to say, right there.
All right. Well, that's a little bit weird, too. All right, so that's the thing. I don't know why he bothered using a pen name because, you know, immediately everybody knew who he was. And so I don't know why he did that exactly. But, okay. Interesting. He just, well, you know, there was in a stairwell. He saw somebody's head for a second. That's all it took. The Navy SEALs are very good. And that was that. But anyway, so I can see why you maybe didn't recognize him at first. Oh, this was at the Toronto Film Festival. Was this, what's this name of this girl who had the affair and big deal? Kristen Stewart, who I've seen, I believe, again, on other shows. And so she was with this Pattison guy that did the vampire things together, right? And I liked him in Water for Elephants. I thought he did an okay job. When I see him interviewed, he seems very kind of like not all there. But he did a good job in that. And then she apparently was making another movie and had an affair with the director. And now they're kaput. And she's sort of going, oh, well, my life's going on. Kind of, I think, is what she's saying. Okay, fine. Okay. And we're happy and we're proud and we're delighted and none of the above. Wildfires rage on in California. 16 complex fire in Northern California's Colusa County is being managed as one blaze. It was actually two. It consumed 26 square miles so far. In Mendocino County, a fire that's been burning since August 18th near the tiny community of Covello was 81% contained. It burned 65 square miles. A wildfire, I mean, think how big that is. 65 square miles. That's a lot. That's huge. Holy dump truck. Wildfire in remote Trinity County was 15% contained after burning nearly 4 square miles. The residents of about 75 homes spread across a rural area near the town of Hayfork have been ordered to evacuate. Who knew about it? Did you ever hear the town Hayfork? Me neither. A wildfire has been burning for 6 days in the rugged areas of San Gabriel Mountains northeast of L.A. was 78% contained as of Saturday after burning more than 6 square miles. The 12 firefighters have suffered minor injuries fighting the blaze that broke out over Labor Day weekend. And the Scotts Fire in Lake County had a mandatory evacuation. It spurned more than 1,600 acres. By Saturday afternoon, it was 5% contained. So the fires are still fired up. That's all there is to what's going on there. Now, I mentioned this. We had a little article about this a while back. I'm trying to remember if it was on CNN, if it was on what it was. But I remember we mentioned it. I mentioned it last week or the week before. But here's an article in today's Tribune about the poor. You know, I was doing okay for the longest time. Then all of a sudden, my tongue decided to leave my head and march down the street. For-profit schools taking in millions from GI Bill. So here they're talking about these things, and it's not good. I'm telling you, it's not good. And these are these people like Phoenix University, DeVry University, Strayer University, Ashford University, Kaplan University, these things that are career colleges, they call them. They're online. You can do most of your stuff online. They say there's not many people are graduating, but they're sure taking the GI's money. So the GI Bill, you know, is very generous now for these guys. And so these people are just pouncing on to try to get them to sign up. And so if you're a GI or you have a GI friend or you have a family GI person, please be aware of it. And if they make a decision to do something with this college to, you know, make sure that they look into everything completely, fully, and absolutely. Or just go to a regular school. Which would make more sense, in my opinion. Okay. All right. Well, this guy's only 64 years old, but he was suspicious of impaired driving. Hit two kids in the school. One 6-year-old girl underwent brain surgery and is fighting for her life. 12-year-old sister's in critical condition. That's sad. Okay. Now, here's a guy, you know, you don't almost know what to think anymore. Am I right when I say that? U.S. Senator John McCain says he's disappointed with his party's presidential candidate for sidestepping world affairs. Do you ever notice that John McCain is disappointed in anybody that's not John McCain? I'm asking you. Have you noticed that? There's something wrong with everybody who's not John McCain. I don't know how you get like that. Now, this is really... Are you ready? When you move next to a golf course, you know, like you look at some of the houses at Laguna, you look at houses, I don't care, you name it, you know, houses along golf courses, look at Black Lake. Okay, so when you move in a house near a golf course, on a golf course, really, you have to imagine that occasionally a stray ball might come your way. You know what I mean? Because everybody out there isn't McElroy. You know, a lot of people are just out there duffing. So here's what happened. So I know this seems hard to believe. In Reno, Nevada, a man has been arrested on suspicion of shooting and wounding a golfer after an errant ball broke a window in his home. The guy is accused of firing a pair of golfers in the 16th hole on Thursday, striking the one who hit the home in Reno. Are you kidding? No, we're not kidding. That's really happened. I shouldn't say you're kidding, but, I mean, what makes your brain do that? It just doesn't make any sense to me. The Fraterales will soon auction off leases to underground coastal formations. This is gas drilling in California. This is, again, now this debate heats up about the fracking. Remember all the movie stars and everybody, the singers, everybody's out against fracking? Well, this is up in Monterey. And the Monterey Shale, near 18,000 acre feet of land extending from the central coast to the San Joaquin Valley, is a setting for a brewing debate over an oil extraction method that has little government oversight, which is fracking. Okay. Now opposition is rising among environmentalists in California, the nation's fourth largest oil producing state. Operators have voluntarily disclosed more than 350 fracking wells throughout the state. Then they've kept others quiet, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so anyway, this is a big thing because they inject some kind of chemical in the ground, and everybody's worried about it's going to create earthquakes and terrible things are going to happen, and could it get in the groundwater, all that kind of stuff. Now, they claim the oil companies, that it's not a problem because it's actually they go below the groundwater. You know, they actually go so far down it's below the groundwater. You know, but people are concerned that if you get frickin' fracking down there, where does the groundwater going to go? You know, is it going to seep down where it's no good? I can understand why there's people concerned about the whole darn thing. So that's a story on the frickin' and the fracking. And here's what I need to tell you about Karen Scott. Don't let someone throw you a curveball when choosing who to see for hearing help. There are plenty of dispensers and strange devices out there. Dr. Karen Scott, Doctor of Audiology, has the years of experience, education, and can help you with the best decisions for you, your children, grandpa and grandma, and all those betwixt and between. With Dr. Karen's lineup of professionals, your experience with them will be a bases loaded out of the park home run. Dr. Karen Scott, the LA Dodgers, and KYNS. What a fantastic lineup. Dr. Karen Scott's office is in the three-story glass Walther building next to the DMV on South Higuera. Come in soon.
Tom Gilmore lives on a farm. There's a storm on the way, so he's boarding up the windows of his house.
Haley Williams lives in an apartment. It's a beautiful day. She's making her usual monthly donation to the American Red Cross.
Tom doesn't know a tornado will leave his family with no place to go.
Haley doesn't know her gift will help give Tom's family shelter.
When you support the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their royal bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
In my secret. People live or die.
dealer wants you thinking that it's either black or white. Thank God it's not that simple. In my secret lair, I bite my lip. I buy what I'm told. From the latest hit to the wisdom of old. But I'm always alone.
That guy grows on you. I like that guy. All right, you're Bill Benka. This is 1340 KYNS, and this is Talk is Cheap. And right now it is 1:35 and a half. And the weather wizard says pretty much the same all week. Wherever you are, it's pretty much going to be however it is. That's basically a summary of what that is.
Okay, glad I could summarize that for you. Okay,
now. But here's the thing: you're saying to yourself, "Yeah, but what's it going to be like this winter, Bill?" Well, according to John Lindsay of Diablo Canyon fame, is we don't know. finally. Now you're going to say, Bill, is that good?
Yeah.
Finally, someone has said right there, that no, we don't really know. You got La Nina, El Nino, things happen, you know, funny currents and whatnot, and you can't sort of predict exactly what's going to happen. So they can guess. Now, you have to be 50% right. I mean, you have a chance of being correct 50% of the time. It's either La Nina or El Nino. It's one of them. There's always one of them there. So, you know, you guess and say, well, oh, I meant the other one. And you see, then you're covered. So that's how that works. So anyway, that's kind of not a fair tale. So anyway, he says, and so Leonard, so he did. Jen Lindsay said, it's hard to really know what it's going to do. So they had the 50 years of rainfall totals here, and they can tell what years you didn't want to be around. And some of the years that I was around, going, what the heck is this? Where we had just a humongous amount of rain. Then here we had places where we were in deep trouble. 10 inches of rain in a year, not good. Not good. What is our average? It's 24.4. And during the drought, we had 10 inches.
Jay.
Anyway, I came across another thing I want to tell you about. Now, this is interesting because, you know, again, our world is changing, as we all know, and our society is changing, as we know, and our communication things change. You know, people are texting and they're on the phone and all that kind of stuff. Now, of course, a lot of people instinctively say, well, that can't be good. You know, it can't be all good. It can't be good. But then here's a guy here who's, let me tell you who this is, Scott Coltrane, a professor of sociology at the University of Oregon, is one of the people that says it may not be not only as bad as you think, it may be better than you think.
Man. Radio.
There was a time, not too long ago, that when you talked about how families are affected by our mobile society, it meant how families were affected by our society on the move, physically, like from the farms to the cities during the Industrial Revolution, or from state to state or country to country with better means of transportation. But today, it's more about how the family is affected by mobile communication technology like phones, computers, and tablets. I'm CNN's Jim Roop.
We'll text. Tracy, what's going on?
Tracy and Miguel Porras have three sons. Ryan is in high school, Danny in middle school, and Matthew in elementary school. Three different schools, and all involved in sports.
This is our Bible, my calendar.
And that calendar is full. Just listen to how hard it was for them to find time to get together just to talk with me.
Well, you asked if you could come on Monday, and I said Monday probably wouldn't work because I know Miguel has an extremely busy week at work, and so I don't know what he's doing.
Miguel, by the way, is in law enforcement.
And then we have football every night for Danny. Ryan had to work from 5:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. We had to be in Valencia at 7 for Danny's football, and then he had a game at 10:30 out in
Very busy family. And then after they all have mobile phones, except for the youngest, Matthew. You see, Tracy's a school teacher, and Matthew attends the school where his mother teaches, so he doesn't need a phone yet. The other two boys, Ryan and Danny, have phones. But these phones, as Danny points out, are not toys, but tools.
I just pretty much use mine to get in contact with my parents or my friends. I don't have internet, so I don't go on YouTube to look up videos or anything like that. So, yeah, I consider it a tool and not something to play games on.
Now, this is where the use of mobile devices either divides the family or brings it closer together, how these devices are managed by the parents. Scott Coltrane is a professor of sociology at the University of Oregon.
One of the best predictors of healthy child outcomes, particularly during adolescence and pre-adolescence, is the extent to which parents can know where their children are, check in with them, set some boundaries, and be consistent in the limit setting that they need to do.
Coltrane says mobile devices help parents in that endeavor, and they help children feel connected, giving the kids quick access to their parents if they are in trouble, have a change in the schedule, or need advice.
Lots of anecdotal evidence has arisen in some of the interviews I do with families about parents who have children who call them when they're in a predicament. A socially adept teenager will wiggle out of an opportunity that might be the wrong thing to do. Calling somebody at that time is probably the right decision.
Coltrane says, no doubt there are many downsides to these mobile devices and computers. Some kids will immerse themselves in social media and shut themselves off from other family members. Tracy Porras says, too, that these mobile devices are keeping their son's friends strangers.
We don't know their friends as well. They don't have to call the house. They text them, so they're not calling, and so we don't know what their manners are like, which is important. We don't know, are they calling at the wrong times of the day, this and that. So that's another thing with the mobile devices that I think makes it different.
To help guard against late-night calls from friends, Porras has her kids charging their phones in the kitchen at night. Another complaint that's common when it comes to mobile technology is that the family doesn't sit around one TV watching one show anymore. Everyone is scattered, watching what they want to watch on their own device. But Stephen Ruggles, director of the Minnesota Population Center and professor of history and population studies at the University of Minnesota, says that that 1950s sit around the TV together utopia thing was a very brief moment in our history.
When my dad was a kid, no, but they didn't have a TV. And if they wanted entertainment, you know, well, the dad might go out to a vaudeville show, the kid might go out to a movie, and so on and so forth, but they weren't necessarily going to do it all together as a family.
He suggests the TV as focal point of the gathered family was just one generation. As soon as people started buying more than one television, the family split up again for entertainment. Ruggles also suggests that all this mobile technology is actually helping families to communicate more.
I communicate a lot more with my kids through electronic media than I ever communicated with my own parents by talking to them. There was a generation gap, if you may recall.
Miguel Porras agrees. He says he didn't communicate with his parents like his boys communicate with him today.
Daniel sent a text, say, how you doing, D? You know, just to say, hey. For a while, I tried to turn that into a phone call, but even then, it just switched and I started texting back, you know. It's a lot, obviously, it's a lot more than the communication, the daily communication, even if it's just one word or three texts. It's 10 times more than it was for me growing up.
And as far as possible abuse of the mobile devices or computers, Miguel and Tracy Porras believe that it's not the fault of the kids.
I think that the parents set guidelines, and if they don't set guidelines, then there won't be guidelines to follow. It's that simple.
It's their job to make sure the kids are following the guidelines.
As Miguel Porras says, the devices are here, and there's just going to be more of them and better ones in the future. It's up to the family, he says, to keep itself grounded in this mobile society. And it can only do that by embracing the technology, understanding the benefits of how it can help the family, and then follow through with consequences if any of it is abused. Jim Roop, CNN.
Thanks, Jim. Anyway, that's what's going on with that. So there are people that say they stay more in touch. I understand that, really. You know, you are, that generation gap we had, you know, that was significant. You know, your father put up with you a little bit if you wanted to say something, and then you know, that was it. And your mom tried to ignore you if she could. That's the way it was. All right. Now, this was a... we should have done this story much sooner in the day, and I apologize. Because I had two tornadoes hit New York. Oh, it's just amazing. Anyway, this is on the outskirts of New York City, of course. An Oklahoma storm killed 4 people. Anyway, so the weather is continuing its wacky ways, and who would have ever thought? Who would have thunked? But, you know, if you remember, I forget how many years ago. It was quite a few years ago. If you remember, there was a funnel cloud. I don't know why they didn't call it a tornado. If it's a funnel cloud and touches down, does it make it a tornado? I think they – all right, we'll call it a tornado for the sake of this commentary. So they had one touchdown in L.A. and screw up the convention center. Do you remember that? So you never know where, when, or how, I guess is how you get to look at it. In China, they've dispatched 7,200 soldiers and militiamen to boost rescue efforts after a magnitude 5.6 earthquake struck the country's southwestern provinces. More than 11,000 rescuers were working like crazy. There's 80 killed, 820 injured, and more than 6,650 homes destroyed. At this point that we know of. And then I always think about this because I know we have extinct volcanoes. They say they're extinct. Are they sure? Anyway, the San Cristobal volcano spewed out a column of ash and gas 2.5 miles high Saturday, leading Nicaraguan authorities to evacuate about 3,000 people from 9 communities around the country's tallest mountain. So this is Seven Sisters. What if they all went bloody at one time? I know. They're not going to. Right, fine. All right. I'm just trying to, you know, create havoc. Collection agencies cash in on students. This is an amazing article right here about the whole thing about college debt and everything. But this tells you the whole gist of this article right here. About 1 in 6 who get loans in are in default. U.S. paid $1.4 billion to track them down last year alone. They went to the collection agencies. They paid $1.4 billion to collection agencies to get some of the money back that are student loans. So here's a girl says she changed her phone number 4 times. She's changed it 4 times this year. Because people, you know, finally find her, and then they start bugging her for money again. Anyway, just absolutely amazing. It says, I circled this down here at the bottom. Participation is lagged because borrowers are either not aware of the programs or turned off by its complexity. So that's the thing. Here's a program that borrowers pay 15% of their discretionary income for up to 25 years, after which the rest of the loan is forgiven. But participation may. But here's, that's 15% of your income, your discretionary income, for up to 25 years. Food. But there are young people that are just buried in student loans. They're just really, really, really buried in them. And I don't know. You know, some it's this thing about, you know, now there's this sort of battle going on out there. There's a battlefield that has to do with people that are advising students on what to do financially and what's going on with these loans. And so what they're saying is that colleges are getting in bed with some banks, you know, to try to keep this thing going. And I never had education. Remember when there was education? The idea was educating people. There was that. There was the thing about education. And then there was the thing about education. Apparently no longer. Here was a weird story. Here are these little guys. Right now, Turkey has taken in 80,000 refugees from Syria. I mean, that's a lot of people. 80,000. That's more than we have in San Luis. So they're taking in 80,000 refugees, and so now more people want a refuge, you know, and they want to get out of there. And so they say, we can't right now. I mean, until we build more facilities and whatnot, we're not going to take it. And so they're stuck on the border there. But here's what's weird. So here's this lady. She was pregnant, had twins. They let her into Turkey to go to a hospital, and then right after she had the twins, like 2 days later, they booted her back out, said, here, you can't stay here. You know, we're glad you had your babies, and take them and go back on the other side of the border. Strange stuff. And then they had huge demonstrations in a protest outside government headquarters in Hong Kong on Saturday. Hong Kong chief executive. What they did was they said moral and national education they were going to have. And everybody said it's just brainwashing is what it is. What the heck are you talking about? So all these, I mean, that's a lot of people protesting. How many people did they say? I can't tell you. There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands, not like, you know, little thousands, big thousands. People protest, say we don't want any of this stuff. So anyway, the head guy offered chief executive offered sort of a compromise and said, well, maybe we'll have just a little of it, which the people are still not too happy. No, we didn't want it. We didn't want it, if you remember. We were telling you about it. We didn't want it. Okay. Here's a thing I want to tell you about right here. I'll find it for us here in one sec. Okay, this is the story right here. Let me get it right here. Okay. This is what happens if you tear down a house and you find out you've torn down the wrong one. It can happen. It can't happen fast, however, on Talk is Cheap. It can happen eventually, but not fast. Okay. It can happen eventually. Possibly. And maybe not. Nope, that's not, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, don't you see? Okay, now here we go. We just take our time. This is the lazy man's computer. Or maybe it's man's lazy computer.
Street area are condemned.
Okay, we got to pause. We got to take a little breath there after we start.
Slated for demolition. Dozens of houses, but not Jesse Vernon's.
It was a solid structure. You know, it's something that I could work with. But now there's nothing I can work with. There's nothing I can do with it.
Youngblood Demolition and Excavating won the city's bid to take down this condemned house at 2804 Harrison Street. But before the city's code enforcement officer arrived...
Take another breath. Go ahead. Because we want to hear the rest of the story, because the guy's house was...
The contractor took down Vernon's property right next door instead.
There's nothing I can do with it now.
The city did not erroneously give a wrong address. The city did not instruct them to demolish this wrong property. Then that liability is going to fall with that demolition contractor.
Over the phone, contractor Grant Youngblood acknowledged his mistake, saying, I messed up and I wasn't thorough enough. However, Youngblood also stands by his decision, adding, quote, people keep calling it a house, but the correct terminology is crack house, but not to Jesse Vernon.
I'm tired of this thing interrupting itself. So, okay, so that was the story right there. He says it's a crack house, so he doesn't feel bad. Right, whatever. Fine, you tore down a guy's house. That's really weird. Sorry, that's really kind of strange, in my opinion. All right, things are going on in a row. Other wild and crazy stuff that's out there. It's hard to understand at all. Is for some mammograms may raise the risk of cancer. Women whose genes put them at risk say it can be harmed by tests. The radiation study shows. So they say that you got to know. I'm not sure how you know until you go and get tested, and that's the whole idea, is to find out if you're got a problem with that. But that's what they're saying basically. Now, I don't even know. I don't know anymore what's flying around up there. Can I tell you the truth? I don't know. I can honestly say to you, I don't know anymore what's flying around up there, because here's one I didn't know about. Next and final stop, the biggest object in the asteroid belt. After spending a year gazing at a giant asteroid, NASA's Dawn spacecraft on Wednesday began a cruise toward an even bigger target, a voyage that will take nearly 3 years. Ground controllers received a signal from Dawn that has successfully spiraled away from the asteroid Vesta and was headed toward the dwarf planet Ceres. Firing its ion propulsion thrusters, Dawn gently freed itself from Vesta's gravitational hold Tuesday night. Because its antenna was pointed away from Earth during the maneuver, NASA did not get confirmation until the next day. It was smooth and elegant and graceful, said Chief Engineer Mark Raymond of the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which manages the $466 million mission. There's a whole lot of money in that mission. There's a whole lot of manana. Now... Manamana.
September 11th, we'll get together at noon o'clock. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye. Happy trails to you, till we meet.
Of light, oh darkened one, I never thought we'd meet. You kiss my lips. Oh, you're gone, and I'm back on Boogie Street.
A sip of wine, a cigarette.
Yeah.
is